Mandipada Prabhu. He was quite confident in his question answers, right from the 7th canto. Chala dharma, upadharma, and all that. Five types of dharma. Five types of adharma. I felt that he should have explained them a little more clearly. It was not very clear. We knew that there is some kind of adharma, but we couldn't understand what he was trying to say. Also, as usual, I have written on grammar, improvement in grammar every time. But as a wise speaking, you don't need to say, that is the pastime of Prabhupada, or I am going to tell you one nice story. You don't have to tell that. You can directly start also. Even I say that sometimes, that is the pastime of Prabhupada. But actually, as far as possible, we should learn to directly relate it. Instead of, that is one pastime of Prabhupada, I am going to tell that one pastime to all of you. You don't have to waste that much time. Also, I felt the lecture could have been more systematic. When we talk of this topic, see, all of you, those who are giving presentation, cheating religion and real religion, see this topic, you have to read below what is given. It's very important. Because you are supposed to cover the content of this. He's saying, I am fed up, somebody is saying, I am fed up of religion. If God is the Supreme Father, then why should we be fearful of Him? People go to God simply to fulfill their demands. Religion has become a cause of riots and hypocrisy. Every religion is saying something different. And I better give up confusing my head with all this mess. I would rather do away with religion and live a peaceful life with myself, thanking God in my heart once in a day. God knows what my duty is in this world. So this, what do you understand from the tone of this person? Anybody? What do you understand from his tone? Since faith in God, he has faith in God, he has no faith in God. His own understanding of God. He actually wants to know about God, but seeing all the people, okay, that's one thing he understood. Then when he is approaching other religions, what does he find, what fault does he find with other religions? Like, you know, somebody says that, you know, if you don't worship God like this, then you will suffer in hell. And, you know, people are frightening. And he doesn't like that. Why God must be such a cruel person? Or is God really a cruel person? Like that? And he gets confused. And another thing? People just go to God, you know, showing a list of material things. Give me this, give me that. So he's fed up with, you know, such type of religions. So those two things are said there. So, that means this person is a good candidate for Krishna consciousness. Because he is already beginning to understand that those things are bad. Like that. So, for such a person, you are going to give him a lecture on what is cheating religion and what is real religion. So, whenever we talk of any topic, you should always take a shastric outlook of the topic. It's very important. Like when you say cheating religion, anybody knows in Sanskrit what is the word cheating religion? Kaitava Dharma. Which verse talks about Kaitava Dharma? Dharma Projita Kaitavatra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. Like that it talks. Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatra Yonmulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Kute Kimbapare Rishwaraha Sadyo Hridiyavat. What does that verse say? Dharma projita. The real dharma, the ultimate dharma, kicks out all the sub-religious principles. Those are sub-religions, like Taitavatra it says, Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. The top religion is meant for those who are totally non-envious. Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam. And he talks about Vastava Vastu. There is Avastava Vastu, Vastava Vastu. Vastava Vastu means the real truth. The real truth, the real substance, the absolute truth. And by practicing the real religion, what happens? Tapatrayon Mulanam. It completely removes a person from the tapatray. Trivida tap. Adhyatmika, bhautika, daivika. And then he says, Sushruta-Vistakshana. He talks about how, so it's very important to quote that verse here when you talk of real religion. And also then, after quoting that, you have to also explain that what is this Kaitava Dharma. So, the Mandavadrupa, when he spoke, probably he understood the cheating religion to be like bogus saints, bogus sadhus and bogus sons. Actually, Bhagavatam talks of them also in some places, but actually what Bhagavatam is talking of as Kaitava Dharma is different. Bhagavatam says that those religions which teach you how to go to God for different material benefits, they are also considered as cheating religion, according to Bhagavatam. That's why Narada Muni condemns when he meets Vedavyas, what have you given to the people, you know, in all the different Puranas. You know, go to this God for that, and the, you know, go to Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Surya, go to Shiva, and ask for different material benefits. This is all Kaitava Dharma. And there are also many lower religious principles. There are many sub-religious principles like, you know, Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. You should treat your mother and father as the God. So, for whom mother and father are to be considered God? For an irresponsible fool. One does not do any duty to mother and father. He is just drinking and smoking and living like a parasite at home. So for him, one religion is given that, you know, you have to give up his bad habits and worship parents. Obey them. So that is one kind of religion. But from the religion, and there is other, so worshipping mother and father, worshipping the Atithi, worshipping the Devatas, Deva, Rishir, Bhuta, Apta, Ninam, Pitranam, all this worship is considered as sub-religious principles. One who worships the Pitrus, they go to Pitraloka. One who worships Gosan spirits, go to Gosan spirits. One who worships the Devatas, goes to the Devatas. But Lord Krishna says, one who worships me, comes back to me. So, this whole lecture should be focused on comparing these two things. Comparing that religion which teaches us how to love and serve God without motivation. I think you used the word selfless, I think. Ahaituki apratikatayatma suprasidati. He has to quote that also. Sarai pumsam paro dharma. He quoted it, no? Yeah. And then ahaituki aprita, he didn't say that. He explained? He didn't explain ahaituki apratikata. It's uninterrupted. It's very important. So, he has to explain about how the cheating religions are, he can give example of how, you know, people go to Ayyappa or people go to some, you know, some 30-40 days, you know, people follow some religion. You know, even in Maharashtra they do like that. You have seen that? Some religions, for some days they follow some Upavasandha. Shravana, I think, yeah. That time they follow. Other times they break all principles. That is also cheating religion. But here it is, apratiyata, uninterrupted. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Or you can say Nitya Yukta, Krishna says, Satatam Kirtiyantavam, you can say. And another thing is Ahetuki. There is no hetu in the real religion. Everybody simply wants love and serve God. So you can compare that Paravadharma with the other dharmas where people go to God with material desires, or people are threatened that, you know, if you, you know, sometimes people just keep a stone under a tree and put kumkum chandan, you know, and then say, you know, you have to give a bali of goat to this, you know, or you have to pay, you know, money here, the donation box. If you don't put, you know, God will punish you in your life. People try to use fear as a motivator in some people's life. Like, you know, I used to get a postcard, you know. You know, you should send the same postcard to 100 people. You know that? Otherwise something will happen in your house or whatever. Foolish people, no? they use fear as a motivator like that. So, using fear as a motivator or desire as a motivator for worshipping God, these are all sub-religious principles, like that. So, real religion is one which teaches us pure love of God. Why? So, this is one thing. Then you can tell the consequences. What are the consequences? Like if you are asking for many material desires, you know, we give a simple example. Inside a jail, you have a mosquito bite, you give somebody mosquito coil. It is very cold, then you give somebody some, in a heat pump to heat the body, you know, or whatever. Somebody feeling chill, otherwise you give him a thick blanket to sleep, you know. So giving a person all these things inside a jail is not useful. That's what demigods do. Demigods give you facilities to be, you know, happy in the material world. So God actually helps you to get out of the jail, like that. So how the Paradharma is supreme, how the other dharmas are inferior. We have to come to that. Yeah. There are two more verses I was about to say. That is the last thing you should quote in this conversation. Because if you tell in the beginning, it will be damaging. Yeah, that religion is one which takes you out of this material world, out of the threefold suffering. That is good. And then you can quote, after all these things, you can come to Sarva Dharma and Parityajya, Mahamikam Shanam Vijaya Archis. That you should say. That's why Krishna says that, don't be doing the Chodamata Upadharma. You just surrender to me and I will remove you from all the sufferings, he says. Krishna says that. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebe Mokshishyami. Somebody may say, oh, if I don't serve the world, if I don't serve devatas, will you not become angry with me? Am I not doing sin? Krishna says, no, I will protect you. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebe Mokshishyami. If any sin would come by not serving those people, I will wipe out those sins. Maharshika, don't fear. You take risk and you surrender. Krishna says. So Lord is giving the assurance. So that also I can say. Na kinkaro, nayam rini charajan. After giving complete confidence about the Paradharma, then you should say this verse. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Narto tayo pakalpate. Nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labaya hismita. Dharma should be performed only for going back to Godhead. Dharma should never perform for fulfilling our desires. Dharma should never perform for material ends in this world. Because if one does dharma for artha, then and one is earning artha for kama, you know, then one will suffer in this world, in shoka and moha. One will suffer like that. Then you can give some examples of that. Can anybody give examples of how people who perform dharma for artha, they were suffering? Yeah. Oh, he's a beauty body. This is like insignificant, you understood, yeah. But can I give examples of somebody who prayed to some demigods and achieved, but they never became happy? There are innumerable examples. Hiranyakashipu, he tried to become immortal. He got practically the post of the king of the universe. Was he happy? But who made him unhappy? What made him unhappy in life? 5-year-old boy, nothing else in this world. So that means even after getting all this, he cannot be happy. That's one example. Ravana, he got so much. He had a city full of golden palaces, and he was the king, and he got the Devakanyas, you know, and all kinds of kanyas from all over the world. Still he was not happy. That means, although he prayed to Shiva, one prayed to Brahma, one prayed to Shiva, they got all benedictions, they were not happy. So you can quote some examples that this kind of lower dharma, which teaches you that pray to God, pray to devatas to get different boons, is useless. It cannot make you happy at all. And ultimately it doesn't take you out of the world. It doesn't send you back to Godhead. One repeatedly, gata gatam kama kama alabante. Krishna says, no? You go up and come down, go up and come down. Yeah. That is not a very good example to God. Generally, Lord never gives his devotees what they want. He only gives them what they need. Generally. Purarava is an exceptional example. Where Lord saw that Purarava is so attached. He is so attached, the Lord thought that, you know, I will not please him, I will frustrate him. Lord desired to frustrate him. So he wanted Urvashi, Lord gave him, take Urvashi. You are such a rascal that you are not fed up with this woman, even after she left you. Now I am giving you, take her, and you burn yourself, and get frustrated and learn a good lesson, and then you will come back crying to me, like that. But generally Lord will never do that. For his devotees, God says, Ami Vijna, Kei Murka, Shekena Diva, Sachanamrita Diya, Shabalaiva. That is Lord's formula. I know that you are a fool demanding some materialistic things. Why should I give you? Instead, I'll give you my Charanamrita, and you'll drink my Charanamrita, and you'll forget the Vishaya. Just like Dhruva forgot. You know? That is Lord's gender formula. But if you see that one, even after drinking Charanamrita, still he wants material things. You know? Begging, I want. when I give a good lesson by, you know, giving a blow with material nature, Maya, actually he became very frustrated, this Purva. The Lord told him that, you know, then Urushi came and she told him, she was sitting with many other men, and the soul went and begged her, please come, Lord has given you, to me. Then she said, okay, only once in a year I will come, she said. And the soul, whole year he would be burning with lust to get her for that one day in a year, like that. And he became more and more frustrated. Later on he comes to his senses. Yeah. Then he gives up the attachment. So Lord sometimes receives excessive attachment. Then he will allow you to get frustrated and learn a good lesson. That Lord generally doesn't do. Ideally what he does, what he did to Dhruva. That's the same formula for everyone. When Lord sees that somebody is metal attached, Lord will give his darshan, give the taste of devotion service, and then he will make them forget. Like that. Generally he will do that. See, one thing is, when we talk of cheating religion and real religion, you should give a higher taste of real religion to the people. That could be probably 60-70% of your lecture. And after giving a higher taste, and people say, yes, what the religion that you are talking about is really fine-tuned religion. Really wonderful. I used to ask the boys, mother is serving you prasadam at home, chapati, sabji, and you are going to a hotel, and in the hotel the waiter is serving you. Is it the same? And he said, no. He just cannot say it's the same. It's a totally different, sir. Everyone agrees to that. Why? What is the difference? After all, both are serving you chapati, both are serving you the same. Then, the motivation. Mother is serving out of love. And the waiter is serving out of desire for money. In the same way, demigod worshippers worship the devatas out of material desire. And demigods also offer the boons out of desire for prestige. You know? They think, no, but if I give this boon, he will think I am very great. He says, no, darshanam na phalam mama. Brahmaji says, no. Hiranyakashipu, you have performed all this penance for me and you have come to the right person. I will give you whatever boons you want. You know, like sometimes, you know, people say, you want an engineering college seat? You have come to the right person. I know that MLA. I know that MP. Ma'am, karakumati hintedunga. And then you even make a phone call to prove that, you know, he has big contacts. You know. Hamara subcontract minister mein, you know, subcontract hamara. So sometimes people are very proud that they have big contacts. You have seen that people? Similarly, demigods also think, hey, he has come to me, he is doing so much worship for me, and if I am unable to give him, then what will he think about me? He will think bad about me. So in the name of thinking like that, sometimes demigods give more than what they deserve to give. Like Hiranyakashipu scolded Brahmaji, why did you give this Hiranyakashipu such boons? Look at this rascal, he is misusing all the boons you gave. So Hiranyakashipu scolded Brahmaji. Similarly, Shiva also, what boon he gave to Vrikasura. Lord scolded Shiva. He said, why did you give such a boon? And by touching somebody's head will be cracked. So sometimes demigods want to maintain their position. So the relationship is simply motivated. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's the relation. That is the verse. Asha shanona vaibhutya swamin ashisha atmanah. Nabhritya swam swamitam. That verse is, you know, this one. Asha shano. It begins with that. Prahlad says that. What I am saying is in Prahlad's quote. See, you have to see from different angles. This is one angle. And another angle you can say, Lord Shiva behaved like that in order to show to the world how he is also a servant of Krishna. You know. So he performed this pastime of giving this boon to Vrikasura, and Vrikasura chased him and he ran, you know, for his life. And then he went to Krishna for saving. And Krishna saved him. In this way, Shiva wanted to prove the supremacy of the Lord. You know. Many times Lord devotee's behavior is difficult to judge. So we can see from different angles. Like that, yeah. So the point is, first you should extol the glories of pure devotion service. And prove that it is very outstanding, and when the audience is convinced of what you are saying, see, I already told you in one of the previous lectures, don't demand faith before proving. That will really cause damage. First you have to prove to people, and they have to be convinced that Paravadharma is supreme. That is the real religion. And then, last part, you condemn the cheating religion. That time, they will be nodding the head along with you. Yes. That is cheating religion, this is cheating religion. Very, very true.
Yeah.
So, the cheating religion becomes totally exposed when the sun rises, you know. See, when the sun rises, all darkness is gone. You know? Similarly, you bring out the glories of real religion, and then you compare them with cheating religion, then it is understandable. Like now, I told you the example of the mother and the waiter serving food. No? In the same way, all the devatas, they give so many benedictions, and the demigod worshippers, they get so many boons. But then, you know, always you will find that demons, they never come to Krishna, they go to demigods only. Because they know, because Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, that demons always want things which they don't deserve. So they go to demigods. See, demons don't ask for righteous things. Like if a boy wants, you know, he wants to eat rice, dal, sabji, chapati, and a normal sweet that is given. So then mother, father can supply him. But if a boy wants brown sugar, but if a boy wants some drug, I want smoking, can you go to mother and father? Say that, mother, father, please give me 10 rupees, I want to smoke some cigarettes. They will not give. So if you don't deserve a thing, you cannot go to mother, father, then they have to go to demigods. And you have to ask them something, you know, which you actually is not good for you, you know. Go and ask them. So, you have to give simple examples. You can even give simple examples of, you know, like monkey is flying, you know, flies are sitting on that example, you know, demigods give you what you want, you know, Krishna gives you what you need and things like that. Then you understand that is called as cheating religion according to Paramahamsa Samhita, Bhagavatam. Actually the word cheating religion is a dangerous word. But Bhagavatam uses it boldly, Kaitava Dharma. You see, you have to see from two viewpoints. A demigod worshipper is here. From an atheist, if the atheist is here, from this viewpoint, demigod worshippers are great, very great. From a pure devotional viewpoint, demigod worshippers are Kaitava Dharma, like that. It's considered a lower religion, going to God for going to different devatas, different material desires. And besides that, the other things also you should say, like he says, Yajante Nama Yajneste Dambe Navidi Purvakam. That is also Kaitava Dharma. It comes in Bhagavad Gita. What is it was? Yajante nama yajna iste means what? Naam ke vaste yajna karte hain. Lekin dhambena avidipurvakam. Dhamba ke saath karte hain yajna. Wo unka yajna karne ka lakshya kya nahi hai? Bhagavan Vishnu ki santushti nahi hai. That is not the goal. Dhambena avidipurvakam. They concoct their own methods of doing yajna. And out of dhamba they do, I am a rich man, I am big, I am doing yajna, all people come and see how great I am. That is also cheating religion. That is not real religion. Like that. So, then, you know, like Indra, you know, how he took the kapalika, you know, that kind of religion, you know, cheating religion. Kapalikas means, you know, those who carry the kapala and they become bogus sannyasis, So there are many bogus people like that who are, then he spoke about that actually. He spoke a little bit about the bogus gurus and bogus sannyasis. And these people they don't teach you how to love God, serve Him and go back to God. They teach you lower religious principles by which you will be again and again born in the material world. Repeatedly. So by, like you know, many people talk about, you know, you should become, you know, a great patriot, you know. Bharat Mata ki jai in the lecture and all, many people. They talk about Bharat Mata, they talk about serving your mother and father, they talk about serving the devatas, you know. Be obedient to everyone, be kind to everyone, be good, do good. They talk all that. But they don't talk about the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. That they don't talk. How to surrender to Him, how to love Him. That they don't teach. So they teach the loyal religious principles. So after comparing all these things, then without taking names, we can certainly criticize the so-called preachers. Like one good example he gave was the professional reciters who do Bhagavad Katha only for earning money and filling up their pockets. They say, you know, I will come for Bhagavad Katha only if you give me 5 lakhs. Flat. They demand like that. And they take the harmonium and they sing very nice verses from Bhagavatam, you know. And they talk about the rasa dance, pastimes of Radha and Krishna and gopis. And the people who hear that, they think it's nice, it's like some sex story, you know. People are motivated sexually, you know. They think, you know, many, many girls were there and Krishna was dancing in the middle and I am also like Krishna only and I can also dance with other man's wives, you know. People are thinking, so they are sexually motivated by hearing Bhagavatam. Such people they have. And this will take 5 lakh rupees for that. And that is cheating religion. Is it not true? Is it not cheating religion? But actually, when one speaks Bhagavad Katha, one's heart should become soft like the gopis. So heart should become softened and get attracted to Krishna. That is real religion. Not one becomes sexually motivated. Better. So you can tell many, many cheating religions. This was one thing he said, professional reciters. And There are other people who say that you will become God, you know, you are God, you know, you will become one with God, and they cheat people by saying like that. You know. There are some gurus who say that you can do whatever you want, you know. You can, somebody asked Asharam Bapuji, you know, somebody asked, why, see, you are a great preacher, you are preaching to thousands of people. Why don't you tell people that they should not break the revealed principles and all, you know, they should follow strictly. Many of your disciples are breaking all principles. He said, oh, if I tell them that, nobody will come. You know, nobody will come to hear the lecture. Dekhe, har ek aadmi ka alag alag time mein alag alag aadmi ko lagan aayega dharma mein. Jis janam mein usko lagan aata hai, tab hi aadmi chhod dega apne aap. Hum kyon uske piche pade hain? Hamara kartavya hai jis tarah surya roshni deta hai. Hamara kartavya ki roshni do. Jisko roshni chahiye lega, jisko nahi chahiye wo nahi lega. Bas, he said like that. Yeah. He's saying that, no, you just preach good things. And bad people will continue to do bad and take little bit of religion. Good people will follow. So he is like that. There are many sadhus like that. Now, as many of the, like, you know, when he quoted Bhaman Rapai and said that, as somebody made the point, it's very true, that many of the religion is, they will teach you 90% the same things, you will see. You know. See, you go to any religious lecture, you will see that they tell you, you should come to satsang, no, and don't go to dussang. They will tell you. You go to any lecture, and they will tell you that, you know, you are not the body, you are the atma, you know, you should worship God. Even the Mayavadis tell you that you should bow down to God, you should sing kirtan, you should do japam. Even they say all that. 99.9% appears as the same religion. But the Siddhanta is the problem there. You know. Conclusion is, okay, we will do all that, but where are we going? You know, that is the question. They will say, no, you will get moksha and you will become God. That's where the real problem lies. So, we have to be very, this kind of topic, when you are speaking outside, we have to be sensitive to the audience. It's very, very important. You have to assume that all the audience, they are going to different lectures. Somebody is going to Asharangapa, somebody is going to Bhaman Rapai, somebody is going to Radha Swami, somebody is going to Sadhvaswani, somebody is going to Ramakrishna Mission. And those people, after going there, they are not satisfied there. Ayatma, Suprasiddhi is not taking place there. Why? Because that is not real religion. If it was, they won't be here. Why have they come here? The very fact that they have come here, somebody is saying, I am a Muslim, somebody is saying, I am a father of Bhaman Rapai. But why are they here? They are here because after going there, they have done many, many things, and they have seen a lot of gulmal, a lot of problems. They are not happy, they are not satisfied. Now they are looking for something that will satisfy their thirst, you know. They have come here. So, should you be aggressive on them or should you be compassionate on them? Compassionate. Yeah. So, you can have a compassionate aggression. You can have, if you want to be aggressive also. How can you have a compassionate aggression? So, compassionate aggression means, first you give them faith in their hearts. Then you can prove to them. Like, you know, many times you will see, somebody is a Sai Baba follower, somebody is a meat eater and all. You know. So, you give lecture properly and then you go on. You don't tell them anything. Over a period of 6 months, 1 year, the other part, unwanted things you are doing, that dries up totally. You know? They stop going to the other place, they throw away the books, you know, and they become totally a Krishna conscious devotee. You will see that. You don't have to, you know, take names. See, the purpose of a preacher taking the other people's names and telling them they are bad, do you know what is the purpose behind? Why do we speak like that?
We are good and they are bad.
Yeah? Actually, we don't want him to go there. See, we are genuinely afraid. If he goes there, you know, he will batak jayega. Huh? So let him come here. Huh? Why should he go there? So you want to protect them. So your concern is good. You know, you want to save them from going there. So you want to tell them. But how you save them is very important. You know, if you speak things very damaging, he will leave you and become a permanent member there. See, this has happened between different gurus' disciples also. In a temple, sometimes what happens, you call somebody who is coming to the temple and tell them, hey, you are going to that person, oh, that person is very bad, you know. But the person will say, hey, but I think he is very good. No, he is very bad, you know. He has done this, he is very, very bad, you don't know why. You just leave him. And you know, I am like your mother and father, huh? I will take care of you. Huh? And then slowly you will find this person, he will stop coming to the temple sometime. And then after 3 months you find he is totally with the other person, you know. And you will come, hey, I told you, no? That person is bad, and no, Prabhuji, I understood, he's very good, he's better than you also. You understand? See, the logic in the material world is you talk bad about others, that will come on you. You will see that. Like, you take rose scented waters and you throw it on others, then they will also put scented waters on you. And you throw H2S, gutter water on others, then you will also get like that. So that is the logic in the material world. So you cannot be picking faults speaking the faults, especially in the lecture about this person is like that, that person like that. He also said in the conclusion, I am not talking about any person. He was trying to escape, but they didn't leave him. They captured him. They put a rope and bound him totally. No. You took names.
Why should I feel bad? Yeah. Why are they feeling bad? Because I am telling a proper religion also, 5 points. If they are agreeing with the 5 points, then they should be happy.
Who took the God? This is another thing. In your lecture, especially if you sambhog say samadhi, when you say that, immediately people know whom you are talking about. Yeah. As soon as you say that, because everyone is standing for something, you know. So when you quote that, then it's as good as quoting that person, you know. Then when you are talking about others taking names, certainly hurts people very much. Like, if you are following somebody and people take the name of that person, then it's like directly a punch on the chest, for the people. Like, when my early days of Krishna consciousness, I had gone to, somebody took me to one so-called big devotee, somebody. So that person asked me, how you like Krishna consciousness. I said, I like Krishna consciousness very much. But I told him, but before coming here, I was searching for Ramakrishna Mission, I said. In Bombay, I didn't know where it was, because I am a follower of Ramakrishna Paramahansa. His books were the ones which I read in the early days, in my 7th, 8th standard, I said. And this person immediately said, Ramakrishna, he's a cow flesh eater, he's a mlecha, he said. My Lord, boom, it was, like a big punch on the I said, what do you mean? I have never heard that he eats beef. As far as I have read in the books and all, he gives such pure teachings. How can you say like that? And then he said, he's important. He was worshipping his own wife. Why he worshipped his wife? Because he was important. That's why he worshipped his wife, he said. Like Devi. So that was another punch. Then I almost started weeping. Then I told my friend, hey, this is nonsense, This person is not a sadhu, He is a sadhu, I said. If he is really a sadhu, then he would not talk ill of others. A sadhu is always tolerant. He doesn't blaspheme other people like this. This is too much. Then that boy saw that I am becoming offensive. And he immediately took me out. He said, come, let's go. Unfortunately, I wanted to help you. But you got very hurt. Okay, forget about this encounter, he said. Then he came back to the hostel and it remained with me for months together. This deep impression of meeting this person. This person is ISKCON devotee even now, another place. So I can never forget it. In fact, this was the time I was planning that I should leave ISKCON and go to some other organization, because these people are criticizing like this. So one of the reasons why people criticize other sadhus in our movement is that they see Prabhupada sometimes strongly criticizing other sadhus. But what is Prabhupada's position? Prabhupada is an acharya. And many times when Prabhupada criticizes someone, the other person actually leaves the other shelters and he comes to Prabhupada's shelter. See, we should never say that, operation successful, but the patient died. It shouldn't happen. Isn't it? So sometimes, no matter how successful you do the operation, if the patient dies, it is useless. So, and that happens when you talk about others, generally. And India especially is very, very sensitive. In America, you talk like this, there's no problem. Because in America, they don't know about Ramakrishna so much. They don't know others. But see, we have to be audience sensitive. Every audience is sensitive about certain things. In India, audiences, criticize scientists, they don't mind so much in India. First of all, India lives in villages. Like you go to, Ram Lakshman Prabhu goes, to that one village, Srigondaya, and criticize scientists strongly there. Who is going to? Vedic life, talk about the greatness of Vedic life and, the ill effects of modern life, they will give a big applause for you. And they are living in the village. Once Devamsa was talking in Ambavati or somewhere, one place. And he was glorifying Vedic life and he criticized modern life. And got a big applause. And he said, all of you are fortunate, you are living in Vedic life. And they are very happy also, you know, by that, when you realize that. And they feel that now we have more points to tell people how Vedic life is great. You know, they feel very nice. But at the same time, when you are going to college students to preach, and you have to criticize scientists, then it's very painful. So should you not criticize at all? No, that is another extreme. We have to criticize. But you have to say that we are not criticizing scientists, but you are criticizing the atheists, or atheistic scientists. It has to be done very carefully, like a surgical operation. See, whenever there is a surgical operation, the person is coming with a boil, you know, to you. First of all, he puts faith in you, doctor, I have a boil in hand. The very fact he is showing you means he has faith. You know. So you should not destroy that faith. You know. So you should know that this person has a boil and it is very painful and is feeling pain. First of all, you should tell him, what would happen if he does not perform surgery? You have to prove to him. If you don't perform surgery, this will spread and you have to amputate the hand, then you will practically die, you know. So you can ask him the alternative, you want to die or you want to be alive, you know. When he says, I want to be alive, then you have to convince him that the surgery is necessary, you know. And you will cry hearing that, you know. Oh, you are going to do surgery. Then you have to say, no, no, don't worry, it won't be painful, you know. You know, I'll apply some anesthesia and all. That's a small few seconds thing, chuck, you know. And then the pus will go away and you will become healthy, you know. So it requires a lot of faith in the patient's part towards the guru, I mean towards the doctor. Similarly, this is very difficult to tell people some religion is cheating religion and some religion is true religion. It has to be very carefully delivered.
After some program in CORTV, we have some fixed up devotees, like we were last batch, we were about to leave, but 8-10 new devotees were there. But one of the senior devotees, he told about this Matirna Krishna Parata Sudova. After time and again, we are telling him to come for program, but they were not coming. They are attached to some last year, GRE, something like that. So we are almost fixed up devotee, about become fixed up, but after this, like, devotee got angry that even though telling so many times he is not coming, so he used that particular shloka, Matirna, in front of them directly. Matirna Krishna Parata Sudova. Puna Puna Sudova. Like, but then it, like all the group went, eight boys, I'm thinking. Yeah, 10 boys. Almost they are not going to come, like 10 times we tried, but last at 10 point he told this person.
And they went away, yeah?
Then they didn't come. Then program started then. From then.
Yeah, see, he's getting an example. How when, actually we had to be very careful. In one of my lectures I was telling, yes sir? In one of my programs, what you have to do when you elevate people, you know, according to the level of realization, you can cut, you know, you can bring about detachment. You know. So the time has to be ready to do the detachment. Like I said, when the rod is hot, strike it, is said. But when the rod is not hot, you strike it, it won't have any effect. You know, what is the use of striking a rod like this, you know, when it is cold? So first of all, soften their heart by giving higher things, and it is soft, then you hit and create detachment like that, you know. So in one of the lectures I was telling that, you know, fear, duty, desire, love. I was talking on that. So I was talking about love. I was telling even in this world, even the love, the so-called love of mother and father, you know, is actually not love. They want you to go to America. Why? Because they can raise their collar, say, you know, my daughter is in Houston, my son is in Boston, you know. Then the boys laugh when you say that, you know. Houston and Boston. And of course some boys did. They laughed also. But there was some last row which was absolutely, you know, they were completely frozen, you know. Absolutely no laughter. Then I realized the next day, five boys had come for the first time. And they were all friends of one boy called Purushottam. They immediately went that day night, they put a phone call to parents of Purushottam and said, sir, in this Harakrishna program they talk bad about parents. They tell the children that your parents don't love you, you know. So they are trying to take away your son, they will make him a brahmachari. You know? They want him to love only Krishna. They want him not to love anybody, you know. Immediately mother, father, brother, everyone came rushing and they picked him out and took him out, you know. That's the association. Yeah. So you have to be very careful when we tell such things, like he said about GRE. Like if you condemn GRE or writing forthcoming examination, you are materially attached, you know. You want to give up and things like that. And people think that, you know, you are trying to pull me out of my career, They are trying to pull me out of the material world. So, depending on their advancement, you can give, you know. So, if you tell devotees who are very advanced, then they will laugh, you know, they will be very detached, you know. Like, I feel that personally we should talk about this Ashanam Bapu and Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, all these things, only after 4 or 5 years, I feel. Or for brahmacharis. Huh? In a devotee circle. In a circle where you have pakka devotees, like in inmates, those who are initiated already, after initiation they have spent 2 years, you know. Such people, among them you can talk, they can understand. Because now they are so solidified, you know, that now they can understand such things. And another reason is that many of the religionists, their problem is they speak very similar to what we speak. That's the biggest problem. You go to any matter, any religion, they say same things. You are not the body, you are the soul, you know. And, they talk about satsanga, you know, they talk about God's greatness, they talk about, you know, similar, they talk about detachment, you know, and they talk about giving up sin and so many things. Most of the religions, organizations teach you that you should be vegetarian, you know, you should not eat mass and everything. So people get a sort of confused, you know. Here also they are saying same thing, there also they are saying same thing. You know? So, it's very bad to take the name of organization and criticize it in public. It's very, very... Or if you are criticizing, you know, then you should have a solid understanding of that movement. Like, for example, I am telling Brahma Kumaris are bad, if you tell me a lecture, somebody catches me. How do you say, you know, they are talking about soul, and they are also scientifically preaching, like you are all preaching, they are doing everything. So, immediately you can say, like Brahma Kumaris are saying that, you know, Krishna and Ram, you know, they have got beautiful bodies according to their previous karma. They got good bodies and they have powers because from the previous karma. They were good human beings. Now they got a good, you know, body. But according to Shastra, God says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma palaistuha. So those who think that God also has virtue and sin, you know, he gets good and bad according to that, that means they are foolish. They don't have a proper understanding. Similarly, Brahma Kumari say that, you know, just like in a mango tree, only mangoes will come. No? Similarly, if a soul has occupied human body, he will only get human body, he will never get animal body. No? And one who has got animal body will always keep getting animal body only. You know, that is our understanding. And this goes against Bhagavad Gita, Shastras. We can show in Shastras how Krishna says that one, a human being can get animal body. No? Like that. So you have to have a good understanding of the movement if you have to really criticize the movement. Otherwise, like, you know only one statement about Bhavantrapai, what he has told, which all of us know, you know. And then you criticize that. And people will show you from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says in that verse, Yachcha Pikrama Tishwara. What that verse? Grihitvaitani Samyati Vayu Ganda Nivashayat. Shariram Yadavapnoti Yachcha Pikrama Ishwara. Prabhupada says in that purport. Here, the word Ishwara is used for the living entity, Jivatma. Why? Because he is called Ishwara because he is the controller of his destiny. Purpose is that, in the purport. So, your destiny is in your hands only. How you live your life. So, if you live like a dog, you'll become a dog. If you live like a human being, you'll become a human being. And if you live a spiritual life, you'll go back to God. So, you are the maker of your destiny. So, that means what Ramana says is the same thing what Prabhupada is saying, in one sense. So, we have to be very careful when we criticize others. Because, you know, you can't just pull out one statement and say they are bad people. Why they are saying they are bad people, we know the reason why. Because whether it is Bhamantrapai or whether it is Pandranga Thole, they are doing many things that look like devotional service, but it is not devotional service. Because you can clearly see that they are not teaching pure devotion. And we can tell people, you see, pure devotion if it is like 24 carat gold, you know, there are many people giving you lesser carats of gold, surely. There are many people teaching you which is 99% religion, which is 95% religion, 90% religion, 80% religion. I always used to say in my lectures, Bharat is a land of saints. There are many, many saints and great souls who appeared in the land of India. And everyone is teaching something good. So no sadhu will want to come and harm you, you know, generally speaking. So they're supposed to teach good. But many sadhus and saints, they teach different things, you know. They teach different, and many of them are not actually teaching you 100% pure religion, you know. Like they may teach you, you know, be good, do good, like Shanta Krishna was asking that question. Okay, if you are already good, what next? They don't teach you much about that. And also we have to tell people that there are different levels of religion and different sadhus are giving you different devils are religion. Somebody is giving you up to this, somebody is giving you up to this, somebody is giving you up to this. Then I often used to tell people, like some of you may be already in contact with some other sadhus and sons, you know. But the one school is having only up to 10th standard. And there is no class beyond that. What will you do, you know? Will you go to another school or you will stop there? Be sentimentally attached to the school saying that, no, I will study 10th standard again and again, you know. 10 times, will you do that? You go to higher school. So, there is higher understanding, there is fear, there is desire, there is duty, there is love. And here, Bhagavatam teaches pure religion and we are teaching Bhagavatam. And he said that point, you can come and see what we are teaching. And if it's acceptable, do you accept it? That's what I would say. Or he also said, if you want to follow, if you are a Muslim, you follow Islam. If you want to follow Christianity, you follow Christianity, no problem. He said that point. I use the parampara and authority only if it is absolutely needed. Only then I do. Otherwise, generally I don't do that. You know, tell me what is the basis. Like for example, if somebody says Sambhog says Samadhi, for example. First I try to explain to them how the Sambhog cannot lead to Samadhi, it will only lead you to becoming a pig, you know. Pig or a dog, you know, it cannot lead to Samadhi, it's an illusion. You know? I try to scientifically explain to them, you know, how in this world everyone who indulges in this only suffers. It has no connection to religion. And why people thought like this? Because people want that kind of nonsensical life. And people want to indulge in such things and still want to claim to be religious. And they are doing that. And I quote from Bhagavad Gita. Instead of asking him, prove, is Bhagavad Gita saying that? Then it becomes like an ego problem, you know. Instead of asking him, quote, then you quote from Bhagavad Gita. What that was? Yehi samsparshaja bhoga. Dukkha yone yavate, you know. Just tantric religion. And that religion tells you this philosophy, Sambhogse Samadhi. Do you know that? According to tantric religion, tantric yogi is supposed to sit in the Smashan Ghat and learn detachment, see the dead body burning, you know. When the body is burnt to ashes, slowly he is supposed to get detachment from his body. And after he is totally detached, you know, he is supposed to unite with the woman without producing semen. You know? This is what in Tantra Yoga. That is why the Tantric Sannyasis also have a wife. That Chaitamapu went to one sannyasi, you know, in Lalitpur. Why they have a wife? They have a wife whom they use for testing. That means you are supposed to indulge in sex without producing semen. That much you are supposed to have control using Tantra Yoga. So they use a wife for such a purpose. So they have this philosophy of by indulgence in sex more and more, one will become frustrated with sex and then will turn to vairagya. That is a philosophy. This is a bogus philosophy. Like we say, pouring excessive ghee in fire, we say, no? But our bodies are not like Hiranyakashipu's body or like, you know, in the ancient times, you know. In Kali Yuga, we don't have enough shakti in the body to enjoy so much to come to the point of frustration. So we can genuinely explain if somebody wants, you know, scientifically we can explain this. And say that cannot lead to happiness. And people who say Americans are having free sex, are they attaining samadhi? They are attaining samadhi for committing suicide. You know, by that. You can say like that. But we don't have to, especially criticizing a person, that really leads to disaster. Yeah, any individual. Because, you know, people lose faith in you, instead of losing faith in that person. So your purpose is not served. Also, he was telling a story of this dog saving his life. So, where he got it from the story? Actually, we have to be very careful about these stories. I already told Gaurang Prabhu, Gaurgava Pondal tell many stories. We have to be very, very careful. I don't know whether it has gone to the notice of Radhana. See, appropriate to use in a place where you talk about cheating propensity. Only. But I doubt whether it could be used in a lecture talking about cheating religion. See, when you talk of cheating religion, you could use so many things. For example, say some sadhus go to, prostitutes, you know, they go to the holy places to seduce the sadhus to get good sons, you know. So what the thieves do, you know, they go, they dress like sadhus and waiting for some prostitute to come. And prostitutes come, they enjoy with them, you know. And prostitutes think that I have cheated, you know, the sadhu and now I will get a good son. And the thieves think, you know, I have cheated a prostitute and had her in a company by dressing like a, you know, sadhu. So these people think they have enjoyed, but they get AIDS and die. You know? So both of them cheated and both of them you know, I don't benefit. So this fellow gets AIDS and he dies, and she thinks I got a sadhu semen, you know, and she also gets cheated. So this world is a world of cheaters and cheated like that. So Bhagavan has this wonderful story. This can be quoted. But when you go for such stories like the one, two, three considerations are there. One consideration is, I don't like people wasting their valuable time in long stories which don't convey much. We should not waste our time. Sometimes I have seen, some of you in the Senate were sometimes telling some stories, you know, which are long wanted stories, you know, you tell this, that, all details. Like this story is a little long story also. And then what you convey out of this is not much. Except only charm that, you know, you have spoken something new which people don't know, you know, something funny or whatever, you know. So we don't need such long stories unless they really convey a punching information. We should not talk them. See, Gauranga Prabhu is a great pandit. He has learnt all the scriptures. Right from his lecture also, we should know where to apply it properly. Probably he must have used it for the four defects. He was using it for the four defects. But in religious thing, it wasn't applicable because now they captured you in the question and answer session. They asked you, if the dog was trying to save his life only, you know, and was it wrong and things like that. Let us not tell any controversial stories. See, I also tell some new stories, but I... sometimes I take from Mahabharata, you know, sometimes I quote from Ramayana or Mahabharata, or from Sannyasi's lectures. You know. I sparingly quote, when I quote also I am very, very careful and I am 100% sure that the story is conveying a very deep moral, you know, a valuable moral. Only then we should tell. Otherwise, if you are not confident, then don't tell. I saw devotees telling one or two more stories like this. Amongst them, they talking amongst them. They said, Gauranga Prabhu said it or somebody. Group of boys, you will experience that sometimes you have difficulty making them serious. Because if you are casual, then they also become casual. When you are preaching religion, when you are talking about God and religion, they are all very serious subject matters. Once in a while, if you are throwing some humor, Prabhupada also used to give humor, but Prabhupada's humor was purely spiritual humor. There was a solid amount of spiritual stuff in that. But this kind of stories, at least personally, I cannot appreciate. Yeah?
That actually in India, how people are claiming themselves God foolishly.
Is that conveyed, sir?
Many gods are there in India, that means God.
So here God is available very cheaply, easily. That's what he wants to convey. He doesn't convey the other thing. And what happens, many younger devotees, they pick up this kind of stories when they hear it. They note down and they go and quote in the lectures because they want to quote something new. Also devotees, yeah, don't ask the source, they say, yeah. See, these things you can talk amongst devotees probably, in a small circle, you know. Like this SKC Prabhu, you know, in a section of myself, SKC Prabhu and Gauranga Prabhu were sitting, you know. So, I had gone to the Panchakarma treatment. He said, he will tell me one story. He said, Rajasham, you are very serious, so I will make you light, he said. I'll tell you one story. I said, what is it? He said, one man was, you know, going in the forest and the tiger chased him, you know. He ran and ran and ran and the tiger chased him. At one point of time, one stone was there, it hit his leg and the fellow toppled like this. And the fellow ground flat and tiger came right above his head like this, you know. And the man thought, oh Krishna, what is going to happen to me? I am a devotee and tiger is going to eat me. Tiger was staring at him. Tiger, Sharira Avidya Jal. Jodendriya Tohe Kal. So he was wondering, you know, because I am a devotee, he is standing Sharira Vidyaja before eating me. You know? He was telling like that. So he was telling, the tiger got the, you know what is the moral of the story? The tiger got the satsang of the devotee. So he also became a devotee and chanted Sharira Vidyaja. He was telling. You know, this kind of... If you quote this kind of things amongst in a big audience, on Sunday feast you quote, you know, people will give a big laugh for you. But they will not learn anything. Then we will become like, you know, anybody else, like Asharam Bapu or anybody else like that. You know? Prabhupada never quote this kind of things. This is only humor. It doesn't have spirituality in it at all. Although it is appearing like spirituality, you know? There's no spirituality in this. If you really feel, you know, you have the urge to tell this kind of joke to others, you can talk amongst devotees. You know. In a small group like this, devotees, devotees want to have fun in a brahmacharya class, you know. Because devotees have already become dedicated, you know. And if you want to share humor with them, you can do that. But don't waste people's, you know, life by talking this in the congregation or amongst youth, you know. Oh, that's a very brief, no? It's not a very big thing. That can be quoted, yeah. Actually, that can be quoted again, the point. It can be quoted in a mature group of people, because if you tell newcomers, they'll become offended. They'll think that, hey, who is the Daddy Wala Baba you're telling? Is it Asharam Babu? Maybe you are, you know. Like one of our Bhavan preachers, he was telling in his lectures, there are so many bogus preachers, like, you know, Chalu Ram Daku, you know, he was saying. They have big, big names like Chalu Ram Daku, you know, they said. So they said, what is it? Asharam Babu. Chaluram Daku name looks like, you know. So he was trying to take the name, you know, like this. And immediately the audience immediately smelled it. What is that? Probably this name I heard somewhere. Who is this Chaluram Daku? People will guess it. You will be really in trouble. So he was telling in his lecture. So there was one Chaluram Daku, you know, Baba, you know, who was having a beard, he was giving lecture. You know. The audience, one Mataji came. You know. So don't take any names like that, even indirectly. See, our desire is to make them, you know that this person is bogus, you know. So even don't even indirectly allude like that. Not very good. Yeah. Also, you know, examples like, you know, once I heard he was telling, like, you know, there was a paper like this, an examination question paper, you know. What is the thing that you hate the most, you know? That was a question paper was there. And the student, you know, stapled it to the answer sheet and gave it to the teacher. You know. The teacher asked, hey, you have not written any answer to this. The student says, sir, don't you understand? What I hate the most is the question paper itself, you know. Didn't give it to you. So now, what lesson you learned from this? No lesson. It's just a joke, that's all. There's no lesson in this. Sometimes preachers, they float such humors just to wake up the audience. You know. Audiences, they fall in like this, you know. Tell a joke and then you ask your neighbor, hey, what did he say? What did he say? I didn't hear it, you know. And they wake up like that, you know. So they say jokes like this. But then what happens when you hear such jokes, then your respect for the preacher will reduce, that's one thing. And the respect for the message that he is giving will reduce. And people tend to become very, very, you know, huh? Yeah?
Casual,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, he was telling, our Sudama Prabhu cracks many such jokes. He was telling one, you know, charvak muni, you know. Charvak means, char means four, vak means walk. Charvak means like an animal. But this is not the Sanskrit meaning, you know. So, he would try to find out like that, you know. Sur kavana, malama, he was asking, you know. So, all people are thinking, who is that, huh? Jo Bhagavan ke sur se sur milate hain, wo sur hain. So they try to speak in musical tone, you know. So Bhagavan says sur se, sur milate hain, wo sur hain. And then Devata says, I don't know, at least this is a very short one, you know. Okay, if you really are desirous of telling something like that, okay, tell a short one, you know. Don't tell long story, long-winded story which don't carry, you know, much moral, you know. See, we cannot blame such devotees also because everyone's composition is different. You know? Like there is Sarvabhauma Prabhu. You know, he was telling one story, you know, somebody asked, you know that story of grapes? You know that, what is it? 10% are serious people. I'm tell a joke, you know, there was one Bhopla and Angur Sabji, you know. And there was only two Angurs and one, you know, two Bhoplas. All right? You know? Nobody will laugh. Isn't it? Because they also capture the mood of the face of the speaker also. So humorous, huh? Yeah. Questions of tremendous respect. Yeah. At least these people are not as bad as Akkalkot and all, you know. Akkalkot, Samartha, you know. Swami Samartha, they are all deadly people, surrounded by women, nude and everything. Smoking all that. These people are not that bad, you know. We don't have to unnecessarily quote these people. Actually, nowadays I have totally stopped quoting people in my lectures. I don't take any names. I just generally, I tell general, you know, wrong things, but I don't quote names. Even Vivekananda also, I never quote. India Vivekananda is very famous in India, so I'd be very careful. In fact, some of our most serious boys coming to our program, they quote, they say that they have read his books and all. So we should be very sensitive to audience. See, in Pune, in our preaching, we have made many, many powerful devotees. The reason is, they have been sensitive to this, you know. In many places, they have lost boys. Many youth forums have cracked to pieces because the preachers were not sensitive, you know. Preachers not sensitive, then you will lose the people. In the early stage, you lose them. And they will go and join them, you know. They will go and join the other mat and they will be serving them. That means they become your enemy. Very careful. So these two things, humor and criticism, be careful. Two things, yeah. Then they challenge your religion. You are saying, chant, dance, and go back to Godhead, and it's very cheap religion, no? Yeah. But he answered the question very nicely. He said, the goal of the religion. That was a good answer he gave to that. But one thing is, you cannot demand faith in atmosphere where there is lack of trust. Like for example, if people don't have trust in you cannot demand faith. It's very, very difficult. Even as a president of a temple, I can tell you, only those people who have trust in me, you know, they have trust in Radhisham, and they come and open up to me, you know, they come and tell their problems, and I try to help them sort out. Because opening the heart is a very, very delicate thing, you know. It's like a wife opening the door to somebody patting the door. Whether is it a husband only, you know, is it some known relative, or is it some thief has come. Similarly, people opening the heart, we can do that only in a atmosphere of trust, you know. Where you have only trust, then people will come and open up the heart. And then you can help them. And the people open the heart a little bit and then they see that they are mistreated, and again they'll close the door. They'll not open the heart. Same way with audience also. Audience are faithfully coming and sitting and hearing. That means they have trust in us, you know. So we have to give little by little. And depending on the building of trust only we can give, you know, as it builds and goes ahead like that. We can tell them the truths and everything depending on the type, level of trust they have developed in us. Yeah. You were careful. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Yeah. I heard Krishna.